Hello, and welcome to the Wide Open Air Exchange, a sort of special holiday edition. I'm Christine Gallagher, and my guest today, sharing her special interest in, you guessed it, The Simpsons. Here to have some fun with the topic, Rachel Hunter.
Yes.
Welcome to the Wide Open Air Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
When I think of you, I would think of someone who, obviously that's why we're doing this, yep. as someone who's a fan of The Simpsons.
Yep.
But what's the origin of your interest in The Simpsons?
Gosh, I can't even explain it. I think it was just the timing that it was released was like a pivotal moment in childhood. It was like 1989 or 1990. So it was of that time where you were talking about what TV shows you were kind of watching at school and things like that. And The Simpsons was one that everybody talked about. And it was new and it was bright and it was different. And even at the time, it was probably a little bit cheeky. So it was something that just kind of sparked my interest. And then even as an adult, I still consume and watch and quote and buy the T-shirts. I have a Simpsons scrunchie around my wrist as we speak. My dog has a matching Simpsons bandana that he wears. So the love of The Simpsons extends.
Yes. And now that's interesting because I remember it from the same time period, although I can't remember it coming to Australia until 1991. I don't know whether either we didn't get it in 89 or we didn't get around to watching it till 1991, but that's when I remember it. And my early memories of it is it was very focused on Bart Simpson, or as children age 10, 11, we were more interested in Bart, whereas later I remember it being all about Homer. So I'm not sure whether the writers were initially highlighting Bart more and then they pivoted to Homer when he became obviously a more interesting character, or if it was the child growing up and enjoying Homer more later. What do you reckon?
I think a little from column A, a little from column B, which is also a Simpsons line.
Goo-goo, I miss my fly-fly, da-da.
Are you trying to stall us or are you just senile?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
I think it's both. I think obviously we were at the age of pretty much around about the same age as Bart at that time when it came out, and we were in school and we had to deal with principals and other kids and bullies, and I think that's where it resonated in the interest from. And then as we got older and the audience got older, I think they really delved into Homer more. And I think it's both. I would definitely say both.
You listen to me, son. You've just started school, and the path you choose now may be the one you follow for the rest of your life. Now, what do you say?
Eat my shorts.
All right, I'll eat. Eat your shorts?
Yeah, eat my shorts. Butt man. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Butt man.
Butt man.
Yes, because my early memories are Bart having catchphrases. I didn't do it. And a song in the top 40.
Oh, do the Bart man. Oh, that's awkward and cringy. Yeah.
Yo, hey, what's happening, dude? I'm a guy with a rep for being rude. Terrorizing people wherever I go. It's not intentional, just keeping the flow. Fixing test scores to get the best scores. Dropping banana peels all over the floor. I'm the kid that made the delinquency an art. Last name Simpson, first name Bart.
Do the Bart Man. It was a bestseller. I think it was number one in Australia and in other places in around 1991, I think it was. We're reminiscing about The Simpsons today on the Wide Open Air Exchange. Currently speaking about Simpsons catchphrases. Did Homer end up with catchphrases?
Don't.
Bart was, oh, so Homer's, oh, of course.
The number one catchphrase of all time.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, well, I think so. It's in the dictionary these days. Well, I was going to say many years ago it got into the dictionary. But, yeah, I think that's probably the number one that was prevalent at the time.
Yes, of course. And then we're sort of moving into characters now, and a little bit superficially, which is what I've set us up to do, which is talking about catchphrases. But it also then starts to bring to mind other characters like Ned Flanders, diddly diddly doo.
Hidley ho, neighborino.
Yeah.
Hidley ho, neighborinos.
Do you have favorite Simpsons characters?
Oh, that's a really hard question. Yeah. I love them all. I have a soft spot for Smithers. his character development has been really interesting over the years. I also have a soft spot for Mr. Burns. I just think they've had really interesting storylines.
Well, sir, you've certainly vanquished all your enemies, the elementary school, the local tavern, the old age home. You must be very proud.
No, not while my greatest nemesis still provides our customers with free light, heat, and energy. I call this enemy the sun.
I also love things like just the random characters like Lenny and Carl at the pub. Do you know what I mean? At the bar.
Yeah. Didn't you know you've been world famous for an hour now?
You're the internet's number one non-porno site.
Which makes you 10 trillionth overall.
Rach, do you have a favourite episode of The Simpsons? Is that possible?
I think I do, but I love so many. But my ultimate favourite go-to episodes is actually the very first Halloween special.
Oh, interesting, because I never got into the Halloween specials.
I love the Halloween specials. I have a real soft spot for them. And I think that's because a lot of them, especially in the early days, they aligned themselves with like Edgar Allan Poe stories.
Were you reading those?
I was. They were books that I'd picked up at the time, and I couldn't believe that my favourite TV show was doing these really old books.
The Raven. Once upon a midnight dreary,
while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door.
And even, you know, things like Streetcar Named Desire, which I read in high school as part of high school reading. Yeah. The way, like, Simpsons picked up on all those pop cultural moments and things like that, I just really identified with, and I really loved how they did them.
I have always depended on the kindness of strangers.
You can always depend on the kindness of strangers.
Now here's a tip from Branch you won't regret.
A stranger's just a friend you have in bed. You have.
We're talking to Rachel Hunter about her interest in The Simpsons here on the Wide Open Air Exchange. So you were liking those kind of like ye olde worldy references and things that you knew from that you were reading, or old movies and books and things that you enjoyed the pop culture references within The Simpsons.
Yes.
That's so interesting, because years later I've come to love Conan O'Brien without realising at the time that he was a writer on The Simpsons in around that era.
He was there at my favourite era. I always say like those first handful of early seasons. So yeah, I love Conan as well. I love his humour.
Because he's someone who very much has a great handle on history. I think he studied it at Harvard, and he's into the history of American presidents and those sorts of things. And you can hear those kind of voices in Mayor Quimby.
Citizens of Springfield,
I officially declare this. What the hell is that?
That kind of his historical knowledge and that old-timey sort of 1920s American.
When Lisa goes to Washington with her essay competition and she goes to visit all the past presidents and stuff, you can hear it then.
Mr. Jefferson, my name is Lisa Simpson, and I have a problem.
I know your problem. The Lincoln Memorial was too crowded.
Sorry, sir. It's just...
No one ever comes to see me. I don't blame them. I never did anything important. Just the Declaration of Independence, the Louisiana Purchase, the dumbwaiter.
Maybe I should be going. I caught you at a bad time.
Wait. Please don't go. I get so lonely.
The Simpsons is our topic for the Wide Open Air Exchange today. I'm having a bit of fun with my friend Rachel Hunter. Now, this is very specific. Cartoon crushes? Because I'm pretty sure I would say Groundskeeper Willie.
Ooh, the Scottish accent.
And he's got the body of a woodsman.
Yes.
Who's cucked because he's chopping wood, not because he's lifting dumbbells in the gym.
Yeah.
I'm from Scotland. Where do you hail from?
North Kilt Town.
No fooling! I'm from North Kilt Town.
Mine is more, I would say, not a physical looking crush. Mine is Troy McClure. So the one just because I love how he sticks to his message. You might remember me from, and has that weird kind of backstory that's never really delved that deeply into.
I love that.
That one. I love Troy McClure. I really enjoy that. Yeah. And I think it's also because I have attachment to Phil Hartman, who used to voice him as well. So I think it's very intertwined.
Hello, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such movies as Cry Yuma and Here Comes the Coast Guard, Buck Henderson, Union Buster, and Troy and Company's Summertime Smile Factory.
Do you notice patterns in what you like based on the voice actors? Because who is it? It's Harry Shearer? Hank Azaria.
Yeah, Hank Azaria, Harry Shearer, all of them, they all do multiple voices.
Yeah, so I guess so. Let me rephrase. When you think about who your favourite characters are, does it ever correlate with a particular voice actor who does multiple of your favourite characters, or is it not that?
No, it's a real even spread.
Yeah.
Definitely an even spread.
Yeah. Music has been a big part of The Simpsons, or at least in the early years, which is all I watched. Certainly early on, music and original songs written for The Simpsons was a big part of at least the episodes that I remember.
Yeah.
Like the monorail, which is a Conan O'Brien episode.
I swear it's Springfield's only choice. Throw up your hands and raise your voice.
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
Once again.
Or the B-sharps.
Yes.
Baby on board.
Yeah.
And how I'm adored. That sign on my car's window pane.
Hello? Human fly here. Come on. I stayed up all night dyeing my underwear.
Or when Marge sings a whole morally upright song about the burlesque house, but the town loves the burlesque house.
The gin in your
visit.
That service was exquisite.
Why, Joseph, I had no idea.
Come on now, you were working here. Without it, we'd have had no fun since March of 1961.
To shut them down now would be twisted.
We just heard this place existed.
And then there were other songs that were less the big production.
Geese love ganders, fleece love Flanders, everybody loves Ned Flanders. That one.
Yeah. And Bunk With Me Tonight.
Yes.
The country
my
singer.
My favourite
Lurley.
One, and probably from one of my more favourite episodes, is the one where Homer goes away for work to Capital City with a colleague, Mindy. And at the very end of the episode, he sings the song when Marge comes to the hotel. Oh, Margie, you came and you found me a turkey on my vacation away from working. I still remember and sometimes find myself singing or humming those songs.
Yes, that's the cover of Barry Manilow, Mandy.
Yeah.
Oh, Margie, you came and you found me a turkey on my vacation away from worky.
Another feature of at least early Simpsons was celebrity guests.
Yes.
It became a big deal to be written in as a celebrity. The one that comes to mind for me is Luke Perry. And I suppose because I was a fan of 90210 and I thought, Luke Perry is on The Simpsons. It was like my world's coming together.
Yes.
What about for you? Do any celebrity guests come to mind?
I love that one as well because I was also a 90210 fan.
Yeah. I think shot out of a cannon.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
My other one, again, relates back to one of the favourite episodes, the Mindy one, Michelle Pfeiffer.
If it weren't for this wall, we'd be sleeping in the same bed.
Yeah. Walls are a necessity in today's society.
Let's do it. Let's call room service!
I love that Winona Ryder was the friend in the Telltale Heart that had moved from the new school.
Actually, I'm 7. I was just skipped ahead because I was getting bored with the first grade.
So, yeah, and I loved Winona Ryder from Beetlejuice, Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael.
Yeah,
so, again, all those, like, childhood memories and things like that. So I used to get really excited when it was those kind of guests that resonated with me and my growing up and watching movies and stuff like that and quoting those.
Yeah, so again, the external reference, the writers did such a great job of tickling viewers with pop culture references and things that are nostalgic to the audience.
Yeah, and I still think to this day, that's why I probably shy away from the newer episodes and still gravitate towards those older ones, those old classics, because I pick up now even more references than what I got at that point in time as well. There's other little nuances and things that I've picked up as well. Yeah. So it's kind of almost like watching it all over again, but still finding it really comforting. It's like a comfort watch.
The Simpsons is our topic for the Wide Open Air Exchange today with Rachel Hunter. Is there anything else that's sort of obvious to you as a theme that maybe you'd been thinking about coming in that I haven't? Or do you want to dig into anything a bit deeper?
There's that trope that, you know, the Simpsons have predicted the whole diatribe of things that have ended up coming true, like the Fox Network owning them, Donald Trump as president. Like, there's been a number of things that they wove into episodes in the last 20, 30 years that have actually eventuated. Yeah. And there is that trope that people, like, Simpsons are predicting the future.
And how do you explain that?
I would say smart writers. And again, I think it comes from a lot of those predictions came from, again, I think that Conan era as well. And I think he just had an eye and an ear for, well, one, humor, but also historical things. History is cyclical. So I think that kind of culminated in great shows, but have also eventuated in reality, which is a little bit crazy.
As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump. How bad is it, Secretary Van Houten?
We're broke.
Some of it is really precise, isn't it? And you see these sort of side by side. Here's The Simpsons from 1995 and here's reality in 2005, and it's something really freakishly accurate. But it is an interesting, it's a bit of an age-old question of does art imitate life or does life imitate art?
There was the Pierce Brosnan episode, Hello, Marge, you know, which basically was the earliest Alexa.
Hello, Marge.
Oh, my.
Come, Marge. You don't need to cover up for me. I'm merely a pile of circuits and microchips.
Oh, sorry. Sometimes I forget.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, Pierce, the water's perfect.
Isn't it just? It gets better.
Oh, you don't have to do an...
Yes. And so, but sometimes it takes creative people to imagine things that others then go on to create or invent. Because same with, sorry to mix our TV shows, but Star Trek and The Replicator, we now have 3D printers.
Yes.
These things sort of do seem to have their seeds in creative writing or imagination and fantasy. So it doesn't surprise me so much that The Simpsons, which has been on air for how long? 30 odd years,
I believe.
Years
yeah.
Or something, 34 years.
Yeah.
Has had things that have come true. But that is a really interesting phenomenon. Is it that if you write that many episodes and you're not bound by your imagination is not limited because you can make animation do anything you want. Although they do have somewhat of a realism in The Simpsons, right? Like unlike, say, Futurama or Rick and Morty or even Family Guy or others where they go a bit more kind of absurdist.
Yep.
The Simpsons, at least early on, tended to stick to it's a nuclear family living a nuclear family life.
The dog never had a conversation with you. Well, unless it was a Halloween episode, but I know what you mean.
Unless someone was tripping or something, it was fairly some had some bounds within reality.
Yeah, to absolutely. An extent. Yeah.
So could that be also why some of the things have come true because the creative thinking and writing has happened within a sort of real world setting in a way.
Yeah. But also I think they've probably come at it from what's the most absurdest, craziest thing that would make a funny storyline that is like not even plausible or possible. And then several of them have actually eventuated and happened, which I'm assuming they never anticipated would happen back in the day when it was written.
Yes. The Trump being the biggest, probably best
probably
example.
One of the biggest and best examples. Yes.
My guest on the Wide Open Air Exchange today is Rachel Hunter, who's a friend with a special interest in The Simpsons, and we've been having a bit of fun with that topic. We started out thinking about famous quotes from The Simpsons. There are Simpsons quotes that have sort of become, like you were saying, dough is part of the lexicon, it's in the dictionary.
Yeah.
But there's other phrases that have like either become idioms or obvious things that you reference at particular moments, like, for example, Valentine's Day, I choose you.
Let's be friends.
Yep. Which was the Valentine's
card. I still send those
card.
Gifts every Valentine's.
Yes.
Here you go, Ralph. You choose me? Happy Valentine's.
It says bee, and there's a picture of a bee on it.
I thought you'd like it.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there others like that that have transcended the episodes that do you think people recognize? You know, like it happened with Shakespeare. Here I am comparing Shakespeare with The Simpsons, but there's heaps of phrases that people use that they don't even realize
today
that have come from Shakespeare. Do you think similar things have happened with The Simpsons?
I do. I agree. But part of it is also, is it just my universe and my world, because I'm so into The Simpsons and I still have friends that we both still quote lines to each other when we go to tell each other a story about something that happened. We'll rip out the old R. So I says to Mabel, I says, which is a Bart Simpson line. Like, yes. We use those, but is that just my group of friends in that same realm where it's dropped so casually into conversation, or is it wider?
So then I says to Mabel, I says,
hi, kids.
I'll finish this later. Hi, Dad.
Where's your mother?
Out back. So anyway, I says to Mabel, I says...
Yes, and you've just reminded me that it's not universal, because you've had this experience with work and you have...
Yes.
When you're online...
We can have a tagline on our...
Like a Microsoft
Teams
or something.
Microsoft Teams thing, yeah. So the new feature was, you can have a tagline. And I was like, great, I'm going to put one of my funny Homer Simpson taglines on there, which is, you'll have to speak up, I'm wearing a towel.
Yes.
And when you watch the episode, he answers an old school phone with a towel around his waist. Mm. So it's not around his head. But that's the whole joke. And the amount of people, I don't know if it's a generational or if it's a cultural thing, the amount of people, at least once a day, someone messages me saying, why are you wearing a towel? What's with the towel? I don't understand.
Yes.
And I send them the picture of the still from the episode explaining that it's a Homer Simpson reference.
Yes.
And I was like, obviously my humor's not hitting if I have to explain it. But like I said, is it cultural? Is it a generational thing? I'm not sure. But I've still got the tagline on my team's message.
Just a minute. Don't hang up.
Hello. You'll have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
That's Homer Simpson. From The Simpsons, we're speaking with great enthusiast, a fan of The Simpsons, Rachel Hunter, here on the Wide Open Air Exchange. And we've been trying to think of whether there are any phrases that have made it in from The Simpsons into the lexicon. So are there any that you think are more integrated into? It's okay if we can't think of any. Maybe Heidi Ho Neighbor.
Yeah, hidey ho, neighborino, I think, Stuart. I say that to my neighbor. Like, I say that to people. I say hidey ho all the time.
Or maybe the Mr. Burns.
Excellent. And the templing of the hands. I do that at work all the time.
Yeah.
Sir, the actors are here to audition for the part of you.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Next.
Excellent.
Next.
Exactly.
So. Oh, it's hopeless. I'll have to play myself.
I suppose we need some third parties to tell us whether these are so
Is
fun.
It just our insular little group who was like this, or are other people like this as well?
Yes. And speaking of groups, you have found a community of Simpsons lovers?
I stumbled upon it almost by accident. Obviously, the algorithms know me well. So, yeah, I stumbled upon this group as someone else that I knew liked or shared a picture from it. So then I went down the rabbit hole of exploring the group.
On a social media.
Yeah, website. It was on Facebook. It's on Facebook. Yeah. So it's quite big. I think there's about 50,000 members. It's Australian-based. It's CompuGlobal HyperMegaNet.
What does that mean?
It's actually from an episode where that was like one of the company names. Yeah. It's like a made-up company name.
CompuGlobal HyperMegaNet. Junior Vice President Homer Simpson speaking. How may I direct your call? It's Patty.
So the Facebook group name is CompuGlobal HyperMegaNet. Oh, it has 100,000 members across Australia and New Zealand. So I found that by accident and then realised it was a community of people who love Simpsons as much as I did and would often post a lot of memes. There's a lot of... Again, it references current pop culture moments, past pop culture moments, and relates them back together. things that are happening currently in the news. It'll match up an old Simpsons episode with it, and people obviously edit and cut them together and make memes and GIFs and things out of it.
How interesting, because here I am trying to find things that are in the language when actually the contemporary language is memes.
Yes.
So having Simpsons memes out there actually is makes more sense than what I was reaching for.
Yeah.
So there's sort of images and memes that are repeated.
Yeah. So the one that's repeated a lot and is one of my favorites, it's from the episode where Homer goes to the chili eating contest. Johnny Cash is the voice guest in that one.
Wow.
Find your soulmate.
Your mind is in a state of readiness, so listen well. To make yourself complete, you must find your soulmate.
Soulmate?
And he's looking up at the sky when he's having like his little tripping balls from eating the spiciest chili, and he's looking at the fox. People use that meme when someone's passed. So it could be a friend in the group, but a lot of people do it when their dogs pass. So someone who doesn't have access to Photoshop or whatever and can't make the meme, they'll post a photo of their dog and say, can someone make this into the meme? And people do. They'll get, you look at the replies and 20 people have made the meme for them.
Yeah.
So that's one that you see very commonly.
Rachel Hunter has been sharing her special interest in The Simpsons with us on the Wide Open Air Exchange. And, yeah, we're hearing about a social media group that Rachel is a part of that share memes, Simpsons memes. So it is a inclusive pop culture related community group of people who are pretty nice to each other.
Yeah, they are. It's pretty like-minded. They do have moderators. I've never personally seen anything kind of get out of hand. Mm. They have rules about, you know, not SHIT posting. Yeah. I don't know if you can swear on this now.
I think that was a good way to do it.
So, yeah, people are reasonably respectful. It has to be Simpsons related or Simpsons adjacent. Like it can't just, you can't just post random things that, you know, you want or you like. It's got to tie back to The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for a while, but they used to do competitions for people to meme. They'd pick a particular topic or they'd pick an episode and a pop culture moment and you had to meme the best image kind of thing. They used to do a lot of that back in the day as well.
I love that because it's really nice when you go from having an individual love of something to having a connection with other people who almost by default you're going to be like-minded with in some ways, maybe not in every way, but in that particular way. Because if the writing or the characters or the nostalgia or the references appeal to you, then and if they're appealing to someone else, well, there's going to be some kind of alignment or overlap.
Definitely.
Between you.
Well, there's about 50,000 of us that obviously align with the nostalgia and also linking it up to current pop culture references as well. So, and I also appreciate the art form. The people that spend the amount of time obviously editing and in Photoshop and making these as well, that's not a quick turnaround. So people are obviously investing time and effort into it. So I appreciate that as well.
Well, this has been great. And I also, if you'll allow me to share it, if you are able to share it with me, there's an artwork of you.
Yes.
That was a gift that was
Simpsonified. Yes.
So it's you and your pooches.
It's me and a past and a present pooch. Nice. So actually your beautiful sister gifted that to me for my 40th birthday.
Yes.
So it is literally the Simpsons lounge room with my lounge, my couches, my dogs, one with little angel wings that has passed. And down to the detail, I am a Simpsons character and it's my prized possession and it hangs proudly in the house. And I've got the digital version of it on my phone and I've got the Christmas version of it and I whip that out every year at Christmas as well.
And we might try and use that as the feature image for this episode if that's okay. So people can have a look at wideopenairexchange.com. One final thing.
Yes.
But I sometimes ask people about their names if I think it's something obvious that other people will be doing. So, like, I had Darren Fittler on this program, who's a charities and social sector lawyer. And I know people are going to want to know, is he related to Brad Fittler? It's just going to be an obvious question. But your name's Rachel Hunter.
Yes.
And I know you because I know you well, but I know you will have heard this for many years. But there is a model called Rachel Hunter, and she's Kiwi, and you were born in New Zealand.
And my family's New Zealand. I was born here, but my family is Kiwi. But yeah, she used to be married to Rod Stewart many years ago.
That's right.
So I think it's gotten less over the years. I get asked less and less. It's people of our or my generation now that generally ask. I find younger generations don't know, not so much. They don't realize. But yeah, I won a celebrity radio contest a couple of years ago when they were like, ring up with your famous name. So I rang up and I got through. So that was in the early 2000s. I had a hard time getting a tax file number when I started to work because they didn't really think. It was also at the time where she was really big in Australia with commercials, where she was doing the Pantene commercials. Yeah. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
Yes.
So it was very like of the moment. So things where there was like official forms or I had to ring up and give my name, people would ask, oh, that's not the Rachel Hunter, is it? And then in my earlier career, when I used to be a debt collector on the phones and I used to give my name, people would, especially males, would be like, oh, are you the supermodel? I was like, you will be bitterly disappointed when you see what is on the other end of this phone call. No. But it has died off, I've noticed, in the last few years.
Oh, that's so.
But I did get asked about it on a work call just yesterday.
Okay, so there you go.
So it still happens.
Still relevant.
It's still relevant.
It still happens.
Still happens, yeah.
Thanks, Rach. Rachel Hunter, thank you so much for
sharing your love
of The Simpsons with us. It's been great. That was so fun. Thanks again, Rachel. That was fantastic. You've been listening to the Wide Open Air Exchange. I'm Christine Gallagher. Take care. Bye-bye.